Make the most of Christmas. That's what I wrote here. Make the most of Christmas. You know, this is a great season to be inviting to people. People are a little bit more open. You know, all the things that we're doing, like the Christmas show coming up here, they're all about just creating an opportunity where you could invite someone along and they could just come along and hang out. And people are open. Your family is open. The Christmas service, we used to do a Christmas Eve service. It was a midnight mass at 11 o'clock. And we'd get 200 or 300 people come out on Christmas. Dave would have remembered that. We had great fun doing that. It was just something novel where you could bring your family. Okay, we're not doing those now because I get too tired. And it is hard because then you got to face your kids the next morning and they're tired. And going. So we're doing them at 6 o'clock. There's a Christmas Eve service. Make great traditions for your family. You know, do the lights. Go for a bit of a drive around the lights. How many people do that? Do the lights. Take your kids on that. Make it a game or something like that. Do some traditions. They're really worthwhile. Yeah. Fantastic. Well, last week I spoke in City Church Tauranga, and I spoke about love, and I think I spoke about love here about 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. I can't get away from it. I really wanted to speak about something else. I spent the week preparing a whole lot of other stuff, but you know, God kept saying, no, the theme is love. And the more I've thought about love, I actually haven't done a lot of sermons on it. When I look back through, you know, I've got 12 years of sermons, 12 years of sermons, and I'm preaching about 20 to 25 messages a year, maybe a little bit more than that. So I've got all these sermons, and I went through them, and I've only done one or two on love, yet the more I look at love, I go, this is the big area. This is huge. This is a huge area for us. Because, look, the greatest witness to people is a transformed life that is now loving people. We do a few things in helping people to witness. You know how you have the evangelism things where you teach people how to talk to people and to share their faith. But I'm more convinced that the greatest witness is your life and the love that comes out of you. Yeah. And let me read to you, and I haven't given it to the guys, so they don't need to put this up. Everybody can just listen to my voice. John 13, you can turn to it if you want. John 13:34 says this. So now I am giving you a new commandment, love each other, just as I've loved you. Oh, just a saying like that goes, man, here's the standard, eh? Okay, now I want you to love people, but I want you to love just like I've loved you. And do you feel the bar go up? Oh, okay, yeah, that's good. You should love each other. Okay, so it's not only, you know, a lot of us, I think we're easy on the loving God, because that's this way, but he's saying, I want you to have the same love this way and this way. Same love to that person sitting next to you this morning. Look at them, say g'day. How you doing? That's you. That's you. And here's the clincher. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. So our love for each other, what is it proving? What does your love prove? Does our love for each other prove to the world that hey, we're his disciples? I just sort of feel that we've got a big distance to go. The message says, this is how everyone will recognize that you're my disciples. So the recognition that you're a Christian is based on how much you love people. Your love for people is the standard of how much of a disciple you are. You know, we look at, oh, no, it's about my Bible knowledge. Nah, nothing to do with that. It's about my theological background. No, that doesn't mean a hill of beans. A hill of beans. Why do they say a hill of beans? I don't even like beans. Oh, actually, no, they're not too bad. Okay, we love beans. Oh, I love beans. Baked beans. Anyhow, this is the proof. And you know, what this has done for me is it's gone, man, God, I need your help to love people. I need your help. I cannot do this. As I talk today, it feels like, if you've done high jump, we all did it at school, you know, you do about this high and they go, come on, you can jump higher, and they put it up. But I feel like I'm going, okay, I want you to do high jump, but I'm giving you the pole vault bar. Okay, you got to jump over the pole vault without a pole vault. That's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. That's the standard that I feel God's going, come on. Come on, we've got to get up there. And although I know in some ways it's impossible, I go, that is what we need to be aiming for. We need to be aiming that we love like that. So Ephesians 5:1 says this, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do. If you've heard me talk a lot, I often think that everything. I look at things and, you know, where it says all or words like everything. Everything you do. So there's no exceptions. There's no exceptions for us to do anything. We can't go, yeah, no, I just do it on Sundays at church. That's what I do. I imitate God on Sundays. No, no, no. Everything you do. Right. There isn't anything that you do that shouldn't imitate God. Anything through your week. Brushing your teeth. Yeah. Imitate God. Does he brush his teeth? That's a great question. That's a theological question that we will ask when we get to heaven. Okay. Therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children, live a life filled with love. Is your life filled with love? Is it filled with love or is it empty of love? We've got a world that's it's just empty of love. Everybody's looking for love. Ooh, there's a song in there somewhere, isn't there? Eleanor would know it, that's it. Follow the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. In the message, I think I did this. Read this last time. Watch what God does and then you do it. You do it. You live it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. That's mostly what God does. He loves us. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. How has Christ loved us? Well, I mean, we just did it. Josh just did. Talked about all these awesome things about God. And Jesus showed his love for us by giving his life. And he's saying, you've got to imitate that. You've got to live at that level. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. Again, is your love for God extravagant? Is your love for other people extravagant? Or is it average? What does extravagant look like? Can you feel that bar going up? God wants us to love each other extravagantly. And no wonder the world's going to look at it and go, oh my goodness, look at the way those people love each other. Look at the way they live. His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. I know what happens when you start reading this. We start thinking of how, well, I don't think anybody's loved me like that. You know, we start looking at everybody else. I don't think the church has loved like that. And whenever I'm in that space where I start thinking about what everyone else should be doing, I get God's message going, no, 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 you're not to look at them. You've got to look at your own life. Right. How much are you loving? You know, the church, so the church is not, it's not me. It's not Rocky and Karen. Yeah. It's us. Mm. So anything where someone says the church, that's you. So the love in the church, the love in this church is about you. We all set the standard of love. It's not one person. It's not just the people up the front. You know, and sometimes we look at the people on the front and we think, oh, they should do that, they should do this. No, no, no. We should do that. We should do this. We all are setting the standard. You set the atmosphere for how people feel the love in this room. And that brings a big challenge because then you go, okay, so how well do you know the people in this room? I mean, we want lots of people to come into this room, that's for sure. But the question is how much do we love the people in this room right now? What's the measure? How do you measure your love for people? And look, I'd start off by going, well, how well do you know the people here? Right. On Sunday, just on Sunday, there isn't enough time to really get to know people. It's just a hello, how are you? I mean, you could do some great connections. And honestly, for me, I think the connections weekly are actually more powerful than we realize. You know, so the weekly seeing someone, even just for 5 minutes, is actually quite powerful. Why do I know this? Because I've had friends who have gone off to, say, plant another church or something like in the city, and they've been best friends. We've seen each other during, you know, all the time. We've been great friends. But when they've gone to another church, I've been surprised how hard it is to keep up in connection with them. It's so hard. Just, and you're going, but you know, we still catch up now and again. But that church, that regular connecting with people is amazing in keeping your connection. You try it. No, don't try. I was going to say, you go away for 2 months. No, don't try that. Think back in the past when you've tried that. You think how quickly you lose contact. You know, so loving, it's about being in people's lives. It's about being there. Okay, what did I say? His love was not cautious but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything. There's that, another word, everything of himself to us. Love like that. Let me pray. Father, I pray this morning that you'd help us. Lord, give us a revelation of your love for us. And Lord, then we sit here going, God, help us to love like you, to love like that. Lord, help us. We need your help. Help us to increase our love, to exercise our love, to expand our love for each other and for those around us. Lord, let the hallmark, let the characteristic of us, let the culture of us be people that love. That people look at us and go, man, I just love being around you because I feel loved. I feel accepted. Lord, I pray love would flow through us and touch lives. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 John 4, it says this, verse 7, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. You know, when you think about what's the test of whether I love God, it's to do with love. Love is, but anyone who does not love does not know God. And I know, look, we're easy on the, oh, you know, no, I love God. And we might even be easy on going, oh, well, I love my spouse. But this is wider than that. This is love for everybody in the room. That sort of love. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only son into the world so that we might have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. If God loves us that much, then surely we've got to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. You would often have, and I've had, people say to me, oh, show me God. I want to see God. If you show me God, I'll believe in God. And what God's saying here is, no, people look at you and me, they don't see God. But if we love each other, God lives in us and God's love is brought to full expression through us. God's love is full expression throughout. Man, this is a huge bar. Yeah. You and I represent God here on earth. You know, that we are the ones that show what love looks like. And I don't know, it's costly. It'll cost you your life. It'll cost you everything to show love. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression in us. The full expression of God's love. And you know, again, you start thinking about what's God's love like? Man, it's huge. It's again, a standard that's way up here. And he's saying, hey, I need you to bring the full expression of that love. People are going to see what God's like through how we love. And I don't know about you, I go, man, we've got a long way to go. No wonder people point their finger and go, oh, I don't know about the church. Do they really love? And our God, verse 13, 1 John 4:13, and God has given us his spirit as proof that we live in him and he is in us. Furthermore, we have seen with our own eyes and testify that the Father sent his son to be the savior of the world. All who declare that Jesus is the Son of God have God living in them, and they live in God. We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. Yeah. I think that's a big thing, putting your trust in God's love. Yeah. There's a lot of lies out there. There's a lot in our head where we go, oh, God doesn't really love me.
Right.
I think we put conditions on God. Yeah, God will love me if I do the right thing. No, 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 God loves you regardless. It's not to do with what you do or don't do. I love my children regardless of how naughty they are.
Right.
And sometimes they are naughty. They get it from their mother. It's really, really sick. And if you know their mother, you'd go, yeah, I agree. Oh, I'm naughty. Oh. Snapped, caught out,
recorded.
Delete that bit there, okay? Where were we before I got off track there? We know how much God loves us, and we put our trust in his love. God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. And we live in God, as we live in God, our love grows more perfect. So again, I go, my test of how much I'm living in God should be shown by how much I love. So is your life outliving, you know, again, is your life reflecting? Does your relationship with God reflect in how much you love people? This is the test. You know, we do our tests based on, you know, I'm spending time with God and I'm doing this. But the test of how much I'm loving God is based with how much I'm loving sideways. Our love grows more perfect. So we will not be afraid on the day of judgment, but we can face them with confidence because we live like Jesus here in this world. Such love has no fear because perfect love expels all fear. If we are afraid, it is for fear of punishment. It shows that we have not fully experienced his perfect love. We love each other because he loved us first. If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person's a liar. For if we don't love the people we can see, how can we love God whom we cannot see? And he has given us this commandment, those who love God must also love their fellow believers. I mean, I don't know about you, the word's quite blunt, quite to the point. You know, here's it. If someone says, I love God, but they hate a fellow believer. In fact, the thing is that they don't love. If you don't love people who we can see, there is no way you can love God who you can't see. It's intertwined. You can't, you know, you can't separate it. It goes hand in hand. How many feel the bar lifting up again? Going, okay. You sit here going, God, I need your help. Every time that I've been going through these scriptures, I'm going, God, help me to love people. God, help me to deal with my selfish attitudes and my self-centeredness. God, I just help me to love people like you love us. Here's some facts about love. Love is a decision. Do you know, I think love starts as a decision that becomes automatic. I think you can make love a habit. Become a habit. Love is captured in an action. Love encompasses our spirit, soul, and body, because Deuteronomy 6:5 says, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Like any strength, I go, it can be built. You know, we all know, going to the gym, I wish it was just going to gym and that would make it a lot easier, but going to the gym exercises your physical and builds your strength. That's what you you build. It's about building your strength. So I'm saying, hey, love, you can build your love strength. Have you ever thought of that? Going, man, if I can just increase my love. And how you increase it is by exercising it. Love is an inner force, an inner strength. Love compels us or impels us, drives us to perform an action for the object of our affection. Sometimes our action is for the sake of another. That love drives us. You know, and look, it's a fascinating thing to me how easy it is to love your children. You know, how easy it is to love your own children. How hard it is to love other people's children. But again, it's going, hey, I want to love. I just want to love people. Love compels us to self-sacrifice. There's a word, self-sacrifice. I think there was a joke about that in the notices today. Self-sacrifice for the good of the loved one, unswerving loyalty. And look, I think children have a great way of teaching us how selfish we are, aren't they? You know? It's not until you have your first child that you realize how selfish you are and how much this little person takes of your time and your concentration. Like, and you suddenly realize, man, you know, wow, I didn't know that it was going to be this much. You know, you sort of think, I thought it was going to be just a bit of a ride, you know, but it's not that at all. But you do it out of love. It's self-sacrificing. Let God transform you. You know, the picture for me is going on a journey of love and going, I'm going to go on this journey of loving people, of asking God to teach me how to love, show me how to love. Keep asking God, show me, help me. I need to be able to love the way you. And I think the more we do it, the more automatic it will come. The more it will be just a part of everything. And look, our goal, I feel, is that every person we meet should feel loved. Every person you meet should feel loved. I've always been challenged by my father. I feel my father's got a real capacity to love people. I can remember just having, you bring your friend. I went to university in Hamilton, and we used to bring our friends over in youth, and we'd come to Tauranga, and I'd bring them to church, and my dad would be on the door, and he'd give them all a big bear hug. And you know, there was one girl that for years used to talk about, man, I love the way your dad loves. And look, all he did was give a hug. It was this feeling of being loved. And we got a world that's empty of love. Yeah. It's just empty. It's crying out. It's lonely. We're the people to show them. So how do we do it? I think we've got to go the extra mile. We've got to go the extra mile. It's going to be inconvenient. It's an inconvenient journey, loving people. What's going the extra mile? It's giving people the gift of time. I think when I was here the other day, I talked about stopping and listening to people and talking to people. Have you, even the last 2 weeks, given people more attention? Attention shows love. They're the most important people in the room. Give them words. Words are so powerful. Encouraging words, they show love. Be thankful to them. You show people how much you love them by just being thankful. Yeah. Being thankful. And I go, it's got to be every interaction. It can't be just, I'll do it to the people I like. I like that person there. You know, they're really nice. No, it's to every person you come across. In fact, I probably find it more fun, I say fun, or more fun to the people that are actually obnoxious. I'm amazed how many people you go into their store and they're just not friendly. And I go, right, my job here is to make them feel loved, and I think that they're important. And just encouraging them, oh, you're having a bad day. Well, you know, you can show love by talking to them, smiling at them. Look, it's contagious. It makes a person's difference. Your words are powerful.
Yeah.
Your words are creative. What do people walk away from you starving, or are they full? Right. Do your words fill them, where they go away going, man, I love being around that person. I'm convinced that's what Jesus was like. I'm convinced he was just so, people just wanted to, you don't follow somebody that's obnoxious. You follow somebody that you just go, man, that love flowing out of them was just, are you that person? Because that's what we are called to be. Give them a gift. Give them something. I'm amazed at how much a gift makes a difference. I'm amazed how much getting some flowers and giving them to my wife, how much she loves that. I don't understand it. I probably don't need to understand it. I just know, man, flowers. I said that 2 weeks or a week ago, and I got a text this week from a man saying, man, tried the flowers. She can't keep her hands off me. I thought that was so funny. I thought, whoa, okay. Too much detail, but thank you. But gifts. Gifts. You know, I look, and I go, you know, gifts are really, really important. They break something. You know, I think for your boss at work, you know, I'm amazed everybody goes, oh, you know, I hope my boss gives me something and we're hoping that he does it. What can you do for yours? Right. What could you do? And even if they're not very nice. I've got a fly. Fly. Making me dance around the room. But what could you do? A gift. If you've got a problem, if somebody in your work you're having problems with, make sure you know when it's their birthday and give them a good gift. It'll actually shut them up.
Wow.
A gift is an incredible thing. Because that's what Jesus does, doesn't he? God just keeps giving to us regardless. We're blessed sometimes regardless. And I believe in all the principles, but I still go, sometimes God just breaks out of the little box we put them in. You know, and what is that? Because it's love. You know, I don't give my kids presents because they've been well behaved. Sometimes they've been well behaved. I give them all presents. I give them all gifts. I want to give them gifts. Do something for them. Do something with them. Pray for people. Prayer shows love. Give them a hug. Be careful. Don't do that for too long. And you've got to be very careful how you do hugs nowadays. But I love watching the youth culture, Sam and the guys, how they all give them, give, you know, you got to know which way to do your hand as you're coming. But I think that's quite powerful. For some people, that's the only hug that they get where someone loves them. It is powerful. It is powerful. Now, we've got to be careful and, oh, I don't know, we used to have all the rules that, you know, side hugs for girls and, you know, I sort of go, oh, what's happened? But we've got to be careful, but at the same time, it's a way to show love.
Yeah.
It's a way that you go, hey, I know this person and I greet them with a hug. I mean, look, the Bible goes a little bit further because it says a holy kiss. Yeah, no, I'm not into that one. A hug will suffice, okay? But you could be amazed how just someone giving a hug, you know. Husbands, wives, how often do you have a hug? You know, don't worry about what the kids say. Who cares what they say? How did Jesus show his love? Last time I said it, he was aware of people. Sometimes we're so busy and so preoccupied. I love Zacchaeus, and if you were here at our conference, Increase, Pastor Paul Scanlon talked about Zacchaeus. You know, Zacchaeus wanted just to see Jesus, and when Jesus saw him, he made him feel just so important. He just made that love, and the effect on Zacchaeus is quite huge. The fact that he knew his name. Do you know people's name? There's something about knowing a person's name. That shows that, hey, I've got to know this person. Let me just read you it, Luke 19. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man then named Zacchaeus. Excuse me. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short. I know that feeling. To see over the crowd. Have we got anybody else out there that goes, yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, okay. Anyhow, So he ran ahead and he climbed up a sycamore fig tree, there we go, beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he says, quick, come down. I must be a guest at your home today. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. You know, there's something intimate about having somebody to your house. Hospitality, to me, shows love. Yeah. When's the last time you had some people around for? Look, it doesn't even have to be dinner. Or it could be dinner. It could be just fish and chips. Honestly, the food, doesn't. It's the company of people. And look, our society has gone, it's sort of changed a little bit. Yeah. You know, I remember when I was growing up, every Sunday lunch, we would have people, my parents would have people around. We'd be forever having people around. And we just got used to it. But it was hospitality, it was showing love. It's that sitting down and eating together where you start to talk about life and do life. When's the last time you... I know lots of people go, oh yeah, but nobody's invited me. Well, who cares a rip? Yeah. So what? You know, you don't do it for what you can get. You just do it because because you love people. Yeah. You just do it. You just do it. Love people. When's the last time you took someone out for dinner, had a coffee with them, went and did something with them? Love like that. Love like that. That's what God wants of us. We show love by being approachable. I've been on my thing about smiling. We show love by smiling, by laughing. Here's some other things. I think we show love by praying for people. Jesus had compassion for people. When's the last time you had compassion for someone? Where you felt their pain? We would see more healings if our praying was a result of an overflow of our love. We would see more healings if our prayers were as an overflow of our love for people. And maybe we don't see as much healing because that love doesn't overflow as much as it should. Jesus was, you know, quite soft in some ways. You know, the man with leprosy, you know, a guy comes and sort of kneels in front of him and says, if you want, you can make me well again. And moved with pity, Jesus touched him. You know, the woman in Nain, where she's in a funeral and her son's died, it says, when the Lord saw his heart overflowed with compassion, don't cry, he said. And he walked over to the coffin and touched it, and the bearer stopped. Young man, get up, he said. Look, his response to people was out of love. His praying was out of love. And look, I know it's this journey that we're on to go that my prayers need to be out of love, not just out of I have to do it. Yeah. It's a love. How much you pray for people is a reflection of your love for people. Who do you pray for? Who do you have on your heart? You know, we do our kids. Yeah, because we love our kids. But how wide does it go? We love by giving. Oh, here I got. Oh, here's my flowers. I had that in here. We love by giving. Giving shows love. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God loved us so much, he gave what was most precious to him. What's your giving like? What's your giving like? You know, we talk a lot about tithing in church because I feel that that's a principle. But for me, it's an overflow of love. I give to God because I love God. But then I also go, hey, it's got to go further than that. It's got to go that I love people as well. That's why I love us doing these Christmas boxes and doing these gifts for kids. I just think it's an expression of love. It's just an expression of love. And I say, get involved in it. But do something else. Do something over the top. Just do something that shows love. Bars up here. How high you've been jumping. Just lift it. Father, we just thank you. Oh, that you love us. We thank you that your love is strong and powerful and tough. Lord, help us to have strong, powerful, tough love. Yes. In all areas of our lives. Every area of our life, Lord, help us to love. Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Just take a moment. Sometimes we struggle loving people because we don't understand God's love for us. Ask God for a revelation of his love for you. In fact, I feel that's a word for some people. Over this week, you need to keep going, God, help me to see how much you love me. Help me to know how much you love me. Lord, I struggle with it sometimes. I don't understand it. Lord, help me. Help me to know how much you love you. Maybe you need to get up every morning and going, just thank God that he loves you. God, I thank you that you love me. You might even need to say it out loud. God, I thank you that you love me. I thank you that you love me. Maybe you need to even quote scriptures. God, for God so loved Alan, or put your name in there. That he gave his son. Lord, I pray for each person here that's struggling with that revelation of love. And then, Father, I pray for all of us that we would all be able to reach out and love people. Lord, as we come into this season, that's all about you coming in, all about the gift that you gave. Lord, help us to love people. Lord, help us to love the people in our family that sometimes are not that nice and are quite hard to love, Lord. Even as we come into the season where we're seeing them, Father, help us to love them. Lord, help us to see through all their veneer and all their pain and all their hurt that they've done to us and love them, Father. Lord, help our words to be full of love. Holy Spirit.